It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says the final version of the federal transportation bill includes nearly $6 billion in projects for Illinois alone. The Democratic senator sat on a conference committee that drafted the final version of the bill signed last month by President Obama. That measure includes funds for resurfacing a stretch of Interstate 57 near Champaign. Durbin appeared at a state transportation maintenance center this morning to announce the funding. He says Illinois' portion of federal dollars is more than it's received in the last 15 years, including more than $8 million for I-57.
The best economic development we can make in America is building things here that will serve us for generations to come, creating and keeping good-paying jobs all the way across this country. I want to make sure we extend this infrastructure bill, this highway bill, beyond the 3 years, that it's here to give us promises for years to come.
Combined with state funds, the portion of Interstate 57 from near Thomasboro to Olympian Drive should be completed by mid-October. IDOT construction field engineer Mike Carnahan says the majority of work should be done by Labor Day. The funding also includes $1.5 billion in funding for transit systems like the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District. The Illinois Attorney General's office is once again siding with the News-Gazette in its request for information from citizen complaints about Champaign police conduct. Like the first opinion, this latest one is non-binding. News-Gazette reporter Patrick Wade said they had been hoping for a binding ruling that would force the city of Champaign to either release the requested information or take the issue to court. The city has already given the News-Gazette details from citizens' complaints that resulted in police officers being disciplined, but it refuses to release details about other complaints. Wade says he understands the reluctance of city officials to give out officers' names from complaints that were dismissed, but he notes last year's campus town arrest of Brandon Ward, where officers were disciplined only after a follow-up investigation.
One of the issues with the citizen complaint process is that the police themselves. It's all self-investigated, self-policed. Who's to say that they're always going to look at these complaints properly?
City of Champaign Attorney Frederick Stevens says they are still reviewing the non-binding opinion from the Attorney General's office and haven't decided how to respond. A BP spokesman says the company will cooperate with the Indiana Attorney General's investigation into its recall of gasoline produced at its refinery in Whiting. The company announced the recall Monday, saying it was limited to regular gasoline sold at retailers in northwestern Indiana. BP later indicated some of the tankers delivering the fuel there also crossed the state line into Illinois. Spokesman Scott Dean says it also might involve premium and mid-grade gasoline. He says BP has heard from more than 5,000 customers whose cars have required repairs because of gasoline containing a high level of a polymeric residue. In many cases, motorists have reported cars stalling. Others have struggled to start altogether. Attorney General Greg Zeller tells WJOBAM in Hammond, Indiana, he wants to make sure consumers' rights are taken into consideration. The Times of Munster reports it heard from BP customers frustrated and concerned about BP's response. Several indicated they were on hold to BP customer service phone lines for 2 hours yesterday. Others said BP was making it difficult for them to receive compensation. Dean says the company has added people answering telephone calls. He also says BP will work to process claims as quickly as possible and that people with claims should keep copies of their repair bills. Customers can send BP emails to bpconsume@bp.com. That's bpconsum at bp.com. Call 1-800-333-3991 or visit bpresponse.com. A federal appeals court has struck down a plan by the EPA to limit pollution. According to the EPA, the rule was scheduled to go into effect in January and would have cost $800 million a year to retrofit power plants with pollution reduction equipment. Several large power companies in some states sued to stop it. Even with the measure being struck down, Indiana Energy Association President Ed Simcox says many utility companies are already making headway to reduce air pollution.
Yes, there are certain pollutants that are released. But do we think that rises to the level of being injurious to the health of our citizens? No, we do not. We think that these power plants are being run safely. We've taken measures to ensure that the air gets even cleaner than it is today.
The Natural Resources Defense Council wants the EPA to appeal the ruling. The group says the pollution reduction standards would prevent thousands of premature deaths and save tens of billions of dollars a year in health costs. The EPA says it is reviewing the court's decision before deciding what steps to take. A judge in southwestern Illinois is weighing whether to revive a $10.1 billion verdict against cigarette maker Philip Morris. After a hearing Tuesday in Edwardsville, Madison County Circuit Judge Dennis Ruth took the matter under advisement without offering any insight on when he might rule. A different Madison County judge back in 2003 found that Philip Morris misled customers about light and low-tar cigarettes and broke state law by marketing them as safer. The state's high court later threw out that verdict, but a state appellate court last year cleared the way for the plaintiffs to argue that a favorable 2008 U.S. Supreme Court decision in an unrelated case may be applied to reinstate the Madison County case. The class action lawsuit involves 1.1 million people who bought light cigarettes in Illinois. The Macon County Public Health Department has confirmed cases of the West Nile virus in mosquitoes and birds. Environmental Health Director Kathy Wade says there haven't been any human cases of the virus in the county, but she encourages residents to take necessary steps to ensure that doesn't happen.
If you do decide to go outdoors, make sure you are wearing mosquito repellent and proper clothing. As far as protecting your home, good ways just to make sure your window and door screens are bug tight, and especially now that everybody's enjoying this nice weather and have their windows and doors open, getting some fresh air.
There's no vaccine or cure for the disease, and symptoms can include fever, headache, body aches, swollen lymph glands, and a rash. Last week, a Lombard man became the first victim of the disease this year in Illinois. Most West Nile infections are reported in August and September. And police in Plainfield in suburban Chicago are asking school officials for permission to store rifles in the village's high schools so they will be ready if violence breaks out. The Joliet Herald News reports the Plainfield School Board is scheduled to consider the request at the board's meeting on Monday. Plainfield Police Chief John Konopek wants the district to install gun safes at its four high schools so the school resource officer can store a rifle. Konopek says having the extra weapon on hand would be useful if a situation involving a shooter arises. He adds they hope that never happens, but they wouldn't be doing their jobs if they didn't prepare for the worst-case scenario. School district spokesman Tom Hernandez says the board is willing to consider the request. In sports, the Chicago White Sox will try for a sweep of the AL East leading New York Yankees tonight at 7:10 at U.S. Cellular Field. Sox will hand the ball to Chris Sale, who's 14-4 this season and is coming off just his second loss since May 12th. St. Louis Cardinals will send Kyle Loesch to the mound tonight at 7:15 as they continue their three-game series against the Houston Astros. Loesch is 12-2 this season. You can find more news all the time at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.